Welcome to the Best Science Medicine Podcast, BS without the BS. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 448th episode of the Best Science Medicine Podcast. My name is James McCormack, and I'm a professor with the Faculty of Pharmaceutical Sciences at the University of British Columbia.
And I'm Mike Allen. I'm a family doctor and the director of program and practice support at the College of Family Physicians of Canada. I'm also a professor at the University of Alberta.
And people may or may not hear a difference in the sound quality, because Mike, you and I are both wearing masks at this very moment, correct?
Yeah, because I'm all alone in a room and I don't want to catch it from myself.
Exactly. Yeah. No, we're not wearing masks, but we may be in the future. So we're going to do a couple of podcasts. The next two podcasts will be about using masks and in different populations. And hopefully you guys will find it interesting, because it's may become a reality for more people than we thought.
Right. And just to, we're going to talk about two different settings in the healthcare workers and then the use in the community. And I do want to give a shout out to Nick Dugray. He's a PharmD from University of Montreal, one of the faculty there. And Nick is a peer member as well. Nick, so if there's anything smart that you hear in this, it's from Nick. There's a couple times in the review of the evidence that I've done with him that I've just been, man, that's smart. He saw through this right away and kind of figured out certain things. So brilliant guy. Unfortunately, we tried to get him on the podcast, but he has faculty responsibilities. And as you know, in Quebec, things are quite busy with COVID. So he's stepped up his clinical work as well. So the question here is there a difference between mask types in preventing viral respiratory infections for healthcare workers? Mm-hmm. So we weren't necessarily asking, do masks work? Although we'll hit on that mm-hmm. a little bit. The question that we're going to be addressing here is there a difference between the different types of masks? And we'll deal a little bit with the levels of masks towards the end. We don't have anything in the TFP, but we did get emails about it, and I tried to look some of it up.
Sure.
So we'll get to that. But let's jump in, because there's one issue is these N95, also called respirator masks.
And doesn't that kind of drive you crazy? Called it like it's not really a respirator mask.
I know. I know it does drive me crazy, but it is how they're known.
Yeah.
And it implies that someone is actually pumping gases into your lungs, et cetera.
Which No, so that's an interesting, because that would be a ventilator. So respiration is actually, you know, the whole gas exchange thing. So it's one step even further removed. But you're correct. Well, all these terms are used almost interchangeably.
Yes. And well, I'm not correct. I was wrong. But thank you for pointing that out, James, on a podcast for thousands of people. But,
all I'm saying is
not the last.
You know, it is the first time, though, in 448 podcasts. So you're lucky, because there's so much wrong. But please keep going.
So N95 masks versus surgical masks, they're also called medical masks or even procedural masks. But they're the classic masks that you see in most healthcare settings that you wear. So, and especially if you go into surgery, some tied, some with ear loops, whatever. Mm-hmm. And there are tons of different types. They've been examined for preventing a wide array of viral respiratory infections. Now, in some of the studies, there's also a secondary analysis of bacterial infections that are cultured or identified. We did not talk about that, mm-hmm. And there's potential debate there because the data is more sparse. Let's focus on viral infections. And we're asking this question about because of COVID, but I do want to stress that there is no randomized control trials of COVID. And we did set the bar at randomized control trials. And why did we? Because there's lots of lower level evidence that have examined masks and found that they work like dynamite, but it is lower level, and we have RCTs, which is what we should be examining. We looked at four systematic reviews with anywhere from 3 to 6 randomized control trials, with anywhere from 3,016 to 9,171 patients, which were 95 to 100% healthcare workers. So they weren't really patients. They were just healthcare workers, just healthcare workers. And the most RCTs were 5 weeks long, although one went as long as 12 weeks. So the largest one was published in the Journal of Evidence-Based Medicine, and the second big one was influenza and other respiratory viruses. So I've done my justice to the journals. Let's get into what they found. So for confirmed influenza, they actually had relatively high numbers in these studies. So the N95 masks had 5.9% of healthcare workers develop that, and the surgical masks had 6.3%. And that was not statistically different. For confirmed viral respiratory tract infections, so this would include all the viruses, the common cold, et cetera, it was 5.7% versus 8.3% for surgical masks. So a little bit higher, but again, not statistically different. And for influenza-like illness, so that is variably defined sometimes as any kind of respiratory tract symptom plus one of kind of systemic symptoms, so fever, chills or aches or that kind of thing. Some are defined, they have to have fever first and then the other things. Some are defined as respiratory infection with any type of systematic. But anyway, influenza-like illness, 3.4% versus 5% for surgical masks. Again, slightly lower in the N95, but again, not statistically significantly different.
And so, Mike, so just to the context, so these are people who are wearing masks when and where?
So they're in healthcare workers, often nurses, but sometimes doctors and others wearing masks when they see patients on a regular basis and encouraged to wear masks at all times during clinical encounters.
Right. And so this is, and it's not necessarily, definitely not secondary to COVID, but it may or may not be around flu season. It could be, but.
Oh, so most of them are around flu season. Right. Most of the results are targeted around flu season because they're trying to maximize flu. Many of them, their primary outcome was confirmed influenza, which with influenza-like illness is often somewhere in the 25 to 35%. So when you get influenza-like illness and you then try and confirm it, about 25 to 35% of them are confirmed as flu. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, I think I saw one at 37%, but obviously only a portion. And that's due to the sensitivity of the test. It's due to the fact that the condition can overlap considerably with other viral illnesses that aren't picked up with the influenza swab. There's a ton of reasons, but when you set that as your target, often you have trouble proving it. And when we talk in the next podcast about community, you'll see a bigger drop in confirmed influenza versus influenza-like illness. In this case, because different groups are pooled, the numbers don't really make sense.
Right. And so this is over a period of somewhere between a month and 3 months is what we're,
yeah,
what we're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah.
And what's in
the vast majority.
Yeah.
The vast majority is about 5 weeks. So yeah, just to understand.
It's interesting because that's now we're talking at a rate of about, sort of 3 to 7 or 8% overall. Because it's my impression, and I may be getting these numbers wrong, but on average, one has around a 5% chance of developing, I'm not talking about healthcare workers, but just in general, one has about a 5% chance per year on an average year of getting influenza. So these people are still having confirmed influenza at a rate within a month or 3 months that is, still not, it's not zero by any stretch of the imagination.
Right, but these people are thrown in the
exactly.
mix, right?
Oh, like yeah. So, yeah.
They're the highest risk people. So yeah. So their rate is going to be higher than the average.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a person who lives a little bit more recluse, who's not in a healthcare setting, will have lower than the average risk.
Yeah, no, for
so,
sure.
So these guys are higher. And one RCT of 1,441 healthcare workers examined how much it mattered for fit testing of N95 masks. And for those of you who've done it, know what that is. There's you get the mask and you have it fitted to your face and then they spray the stuff to see if you can smell it and all sorts of things. Anyhow, did fit testing make a difference versus non-fit testing? And the answer was there was no statistical difference there. So again, it wasn't large enough to show a difference. And don't forget, the reason here is these studies may be big with 1,000 people, but only a small fraction of them are actually getting it. And that's what drives power in a study is mm-hmm. not the number of people in it, but the number of people who are affected. In a depression study, everyone has depression or has at least a score that can be measured. Mm-hmm. In mask studies where you're looking at infections, only a small portion of them actually get infected.
Yeah. And so very, very similar to what you see in cardiovascular trials. These are prevention trials. They're not treatment trials, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're it's very, very... So it's hard to power them adequately, especially when you don't know what that flu season is going to bring.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So there might be a lot less people with it. Okay, so what are some of the problems? Well, one of them is multiple outcomes. They all looked at a ton of different outcomes, whether it was flu-like symptoms, respiratory, confirmed respiratory, bacterial, all sorts of stuff, and combined in different ways. So confirmed viral and then combined with confirmed bacterial and then et cetera. So we tried to trim that down and set the standard on viral because we were trying to assess the risk of COVID. And as I mentioned, there is no COVID studied. So mm-hmm. we have to do our best and we hope that viruses would more likely mirror that. The overall infection risk was low, which we mentioned. The intervention is only used during working hours. So there's a chance that someone could, as you know, even in COVID world, you could be at work and do the whole workday and do well and not pick up COVID, but then drive home and grab a coffee and pick it up that way or something. So there's a chance that some of these infections couldn't be prevented by masks because they were worn during work hours. And they didn't examine, one of the things that masks are promoted for is preventing people who are wearing the mask from giving it to others. And that was never assessed that we could find in a study. And lastly, they never assessed what happened to the ward clerks and other staff, like cleaning staff, et cetera. And what happened to our families? Did we bring it home?
And that's a whole nother level of study. Holy smokes.
Very
much more complex for sure. But you know, you're right that they only used it during working hours, but it would be a consistent in both groups. So it should,
yes, absolutely. You
know, still represents what we find with the surgical versus the N95.
So if you were to look at this data, you might be able to say that N95s maybe were a tiny bit better, but hasn't been proved statistically because they're only a tiny bit better. But that's as far as you could go. And if someone said to me, and I was working in a setting where N95s and regular masks were offered, I don't think I would be too upset if I was told, in this environment, we want you to wear surgical masks and only in the most intense interactions do we want you to wear N95s. And that's generally what's being done right now. And I'm just supporting that approach.
Oh, yeah,
the differences are small.
But, you know, you can imagine there's a big emotional link to all of this. I mean, you want the best protection. And unfortunately, we don't quite know what the best is. At least in this case, but you know, it's certainly you can certainly see there's not a huge difference between them. So, you know, they either work both reasonably equally well or don't work much at all. But you're going to show some other stuff later on that suggests that they may have an effect.
Yes, right. So they're probably working N95s. If you had to guess which one might end up being slightly better, you might guess N95s more than surgical. But you can't even say that with definity.
You're still talking 1-2% difference.
Tops.
Yeah.
Tops. So let's talk about cloth masks because that's gotten in the rage. And what we'd really like to know is most clinics aren't using and most healthcare settings aren't using cloth masks, not in North America. Mm-hmm. But they are being used publicly. And we don't actually have research on public use, but we have a cloth mask study. It was done in Vietnam with 1,600 healthcare workers. And it lasted 4 weeks. Tried to hit a viral infective season. And what happened? Well, clinical respiratory infections were 7.6% in the cloth mask group versus 4.8% in the surgical mask group. Now, the confidence intervals there were right just over one, but it was really close to statistical significance. And if you were a guessing person, you would guess that cloth was inferior. Influenza-like illness was 2.3% for cloth masks versus 0.2% for surgical masks. Again, statistical significance was actually found here in this case. Sorry, I didn't mean to say again. It was actually truly statistically different, although probably just marginally. And then laboratory-confirmed viral infections was 5.5% in cloth masks versus 3.3% in surgical. We put in the, you know, when you're getting into this, I don't really like to present confidence intervals because they're confusing. And then how do you, you know, when one is 1.01 and the other one is 1.09 or something like that, how do you present that in writing to say it's not quite as close to statistical significance? It's very hard to actually nail that down in a reasonable way. But anyhow, we didn't feel that it was close enough to say at that stage.
Right.
But suffice to say, if you were a guessing person, you would guess that cloth masks are not as good as masks or as surgical type masks, because this is a much smaller number of patients and it's already showing statistical significance.
Yeah, and so. And the absolute difference in every one of those endpoints is right, almost bang on 2%.
Yeah.
So that's what we're talking about for cloth masks versus a surgical mask is about a 2% absolute difference in the chance of getting a respiratory infection over the 1 month period, which is what it is. I mean, and like I said, it is a single study. It's certainly suggestive of it. I don't think it's definitive proof, and I know you wouldn't think that so either, but it's if you had to bet based on this one study, you would go with surgical masks.
For sure. You'd pick a surgical mask over, and it's somewhere, somewhere between kind of 2, 3% kind of range. And in the clinical respiratory, it gets up to almost 3%. So if I was a betting person, and sure, there's a lot of debate about what type of cloth mask, and maybe if we add more layers, there's certainly, like more in vitro lab tests where they test how much fumes get through in that by thickening it up and how much, bacteria can pass and the different layers and all that, and then just simply spittle with a cough or sneeze or what have you. But it's, if you were guessing based on the highest level research we have, you'd choose a surgical mask. I think I'd choose cloth mask if I had no other option.
And I've seen people, I've seen some of the people recommend the cloth mask, some of them, you know, cut coffee filters in and put those in, you know, and so
there's all sorts of tricks you can do. There's heard somebody saying use flannel, you know, the kind of classic kind of lumberjack type shirt because they're thicker and all that stuff. So
and we're not going to present the study there. It had to be plaid because plaid confuses the viruses.
Yeah,
and they just go, this person's not worth infecting, but that's another. We'll present that study later on.
Yeah, that's when the bacteria and viruses were completed the survey later. They said they didn't like plaid.
They're not big plaid fans, and understandable.
They're not there. They're more fashion forward.
Yeah.
There's lots of experimental studies of N95s, and all of them show that they're a little bit better. And they also show that, in general, cloth is a little bit worse than surgical masks. So from those kind of studies, these particulate droplets, microorganism type studies, which I would consider far lower level evidence, it would go in order of N95 over surgical over cloth. But as I said, if you were to guess at what we have from the RCTs, you're kind of there anyway, with surgical masks or medical masks being pretty much the same as N95s, and then cloth being worse than the other two. Now, the question does remain, so these are compared to each other. What about in general? So masks, not cloth masks, but masks when studied to prevent infection, look like they give you about a 3.5 absolute increased benefit for things like clinical respiratory infections in randomized controlled trials over kind of a 4-week period. So there you have, you know, that's the kind of benefit. And this is, you know, these results, remember that they depend heavily on the amount of virus out there, the amount of people sick with the flu and cold. So in a ward where you were seeing people only with COVID or that kind of thing, you might expect these benefits to be much higher because there would be so many more people. And I'm not saying that's the case. We don't know because we haven't studied it.
But in theory.
It is potentially, there's a potential that these effects, like how important it would be to wear a mask. And as part of all the other PPE, that's the other, you know, factor here. It's not just wearing a mask. It's how you wear the mask. If you're touching your face, because your mask is on your face, if you're touching it all the time because it's irritating or bothering you, that's going to erode it. If you're not washing your hands regularly, if you're not using gloves and then washing your hands, face shields, gowns, etc.
Yeah.
These are, it's all just one part of it. And what we have told you about today is just the very specific elements of what do masks do for healthcare workers in preventing viral infections.
And I was going to say, and you mentioned, because one of the things that I've been hearing about is exactly as you said with masks, that you're going to touch your face and so on and all that sort of stuff. You can almost bet that in every one of these studies, people were touching their faces because of those masks. And so, you know what I'm saying? To whatever degree that one would touch one's face because of that mask. So, If they're still seeing that benefit and or difference, given that context, it's an important point to talk about, but it doesn't destroy the argument, if you will.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, so we summarized the bottom line of this. I'll just quickly go through that, James. And this is very specifically in healthcare workers. Surgical masks and respirators or N95s appear very much the same in preventing viral infections. Again, not COVID, but viral infections, other viral infections, with N95 masks having a slightly lower but not statistically different infection rate, somewhere in the kind of 1%, maybe 2% in the biggest differences. Cloth masks are less effective than surgical masks. I think you would guess that based on the best available evidence. And it's increasing risk around 2%, maybe as high as 3% over 4 weeks. There are no randomized control trials of transmission from healthcare workers to others, which is a good question. And there are no studies in COVID, which we've mentioned a bunch of times. And just a reminder, again, that masks are just one part of PPE and transmission precautions. So how do you reduce your risk of transmitting? There's lots and lots of things you can do there.
Yeah, no, this is great stuff. You and Nick did a great job of this. I mean, this is... whether we like it or not, this is going to be information that we're going to need. And especially when we're going to talk about the next one, which is, you know, what about in the public and so on? Because this it is already a reality for some people in some jurisdictions. And, you know, as we roll out with all this thing, all we can say is this is the best evidence that we have available to us. And hopefully people who are making decisions are able to look at this type of information and come up with the same sort of thought process that you guys did and know the numbers and all that, because boy, is this ever an emotionally laden issue.
Yeah, it is. I totally get it, but I, you know, we just like there are people who are refusing to work apparently if they don't have N95 masks. And I think based on the best available evidence, you know, there's just not a huge difference with surgical masks. And but then stepping down from surgical to cloth, the numbers aren't grossly different, but they're enough to reach statistical significance. So anyway, that's the best information we have of healthcare worker evidence. And next one we'll be doing is on using masks in the community.
Yeah, no. So, okay, great stuff. Anything else you want? I think we've put that to bed.
I think I would like to advertise our coming up webinar, James.
Oh, yeah, please. Go ahead.
So the College of Family Physicians of Canada has started a webinar series called the COVID Pivot. It's part of their practical talks for family docs series. And these are what we have as speakers from all over Canada. And soon we're going to do an international one. But they're on Thursdays at 12 o'clock Eastern. So out here on the BC coast or BC, that's at 9 o'clock in the morning. And then depending on where you are, obviously lots of different times, but 12 o'clock Eastern, it goes for an hour and they do filter questions. But this week is a little different because we're having the peer group present. And so we'll do it as a Jeopardy type format with 10 different options to choose from. James will be participating. I'll be hosting and probably just clarifying some bits of the things, but we'll have Nick, as long as he's not pulled away for medical reasons to due to his job, he's very busy. We'll have Tina and Mike, who we've all seen on the or heard on the podcast or seen in talk, and Adrian as well, who again you've heard on the podcast or seen in person. Yeah. So lots of the peer team will be involved, and I think it'll be a lot of fun going through all of the different really the pointy end of the stick as far as where the evidence is to try and figure out what we actually know for different COVID related questions.
Yeah. And it's all recorded, so you don't necessarily have to listen to it at that time.
That's right. Thanks, yeah. James, for reminding us.
Yeah. Because
not everyone. And certified as well. Yeah.
Well, you mean the people have been certified or the course?
Yes. Certified.
Probably both.
Certified and safe. The course is when you attend live and everything, you can get you can fill out a short survey afterwards that there's links to and then get credits for.
Cool. No, great stuff. So now I said you didn't have anything to sell. Anything else you want to sell?
No, that is it. Actually, we don't make any money off that.
No,
I
know.
Do think it's important. And I think it's a good membership value for the College of Family Physicians of Canada.
Absolutely. So I think we'll leave it at that. So thanks as always for listening.
Talk to you later.